For outdoor adventures, try the Psionix Aurora Digital full-color night vision camera. Get $100 back with any Aurora Digital night vision camera purchase through June 20th during Psionix's Dads and Grads Freedom Sale. Psionix.com.
All righty, Tom Gresham here. It is Gun Talk. We're going to be talking about, well, what do you think? Guns. For the next hour, plus, because that's what we do around here. We talk about guns and shooting and conservation. Sure, you know, hunters were the first conservationists, really. We actually invented the word conservation, if you actually want to go back that far. Much of our wildlife in America, in the U.S., wouldn't be here if it wasn't for hunting and the dollars we put in and the work we put in saving habitat. As we had an earlier guest talking about, we really had almost no deer, 100, 150 years ago. Very, very few deer in America. There are far more deer in the U.S. now than there were when Columbus landed. Crazy, huh? How'd that happen? And wild turkeys? Forget about it. I mean, it's like we got turkeys everywhere. Well, it happened because hunters actually asked to be taxed. Imagine that. Hunters said, hey, we want to save wildlife. We would like for the federal government to put an excise tax on guns and ammunition. It's called the Pittman-Robertson Act. And that money will be used for wildlife restoration, for habitat restoration, for shooting ranges, and for a number of other things. But we put somewhere on the order of $3 million a day into the coffers with the taxes that we pay plus license fees. There's no other group that I'm aware of that puts that kind of money into conservation, into wildlife habitat. Huh. And yet, we get made fun of by people who, they like the habitat, they like the wildlife. Maybe they just, I think they probably don't know. They probably don't know that hunters are paying for all this. I mean, where do you think the money comes from for game departments? Go check out the funding for your wildlife department in your state. You'll find that a large percentage of that money comes from hunters and anglers paying their own way. And of course, I mean, people say, well, that's a vested interest, you know. You just want to pay for wildlife so you could raise critters to shoot. Except that. I mean, certainly true to a certain extent. But of course, we're only going to take a very small percentage out there of the wildlife. And that's just how it works. And of course, at the same time, if you're saving habitat, you end up with all the other animals that live in the habitat, not just the game animals. Pretty cool. It is one of the great conservation stories of all time. All right, I mentioned earlier, and you know that I'm a duck hunter. I love wing shooting and all. But, I mean, there's shooting, and then there's a whole different level of shooting. And every once in a while, you'll make a phenomenal shot. You think, holy cow, that bird must have been 50 yards out, must have been 60 yards out. I can't believe that I rolled that thing out. Just you wait. You hold on, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Joining me right now is Steve Gould. He is a trick shooter, part of the Gould Brothers exhibition shooters. Hey, Steve, how are you, sir?
I am great, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. You know, I'm thinking about exhibition shooters. And for those who don't know the history of it, yeah, people know a few of the names. They probably know Annie Oakley. She was an exhibition shooter, if you will, a trick shooter. But there are a lot of them along the way. Herb Parsons, Satterwhite. Obviously, people know Tom Knapp and some of the others out there. Tell me about what you guys do. This is you and your brother, right?
Yeah, it's my brother and I. And we were actually, you mentioned Tom Knapp. That is the man that inspired us. Aaron and I were familiar with trick shooting. Uh-huh. We were doing some just basic level trick shots, but it wasn't until we actually seen Tom Knapp perform a live exhibition that we went, holy cow, this guy didn't just do trick shots. He entertained people from young to old and everyone in between, men, women, it didn't matter. People were having a great time watching this guy not only pull off incredible shots, but tell stories and jokes and had all these skits. And it was just such a cool moment for us that Aaron and I looked at each other and said, that is what we're doing right there.
Well, you know what? Tom Knapp and a lot of these other ones, they're entertainers, but with guns, if you will. They're putting on a show, and Knapp was one of the best at it. And, of course, he paid homage to Herb Parsons, who went all the way back with Winchester, and did his acts. I mean, I remember seeing Ed and Plinky Topperwine way back. We're talking, you know, a gazillion years ago. Back then, they could draw a crowd of thousands of people when they would tour the country. 10,000 people would show up to watch these exhibition shooters. So, and there are a lot of people who are thinking, yeah, that was in the old days. How are you guys pulling this off to be exhibition shooters today?
Yeah, it's definitely a different world, right? Because back in those days, they didn't have the YouTube and the on-demand services to watch and see anything that was out there. So when someone like Herb Parsons came to town, like, this was your opportunity. You're not going to see this anywhere else. So people would flock to town. And, you know, the way we approach it is a little bit different. With the onset of social media and YouTube, we create a lot of content. And mm-hmm. we pull off just shots that you're never going to see live. And actually, we were a little bit concerned about it because we're like, people are going to watch our videos, see some of these things that we're doing that might take us half a day to get one shot or, you know, 1,000 tries to get one shot. That's not the norm. But and then they come to our show, are they going to be let down when they see that we're not doing some of these things live? We were a little bit concerned about that. But what we found, as people come to our show and they say, hey, I followed you on YouTube for years, we'll ask them after the show, hey, what'd you think? What's better, videos or live? And every single person that we've asked still says live, because they see the human dynamic. They see us make mistakes. They see us rebound from mistakes and tell jokes, and Aaron and I going back and forth. And it's just really encouraging to hear that people still love to watch it live instead of just everything they can see online.
Well, you know what it is? They get the energy. You guys bring a high level of energy, and you're playing off of each other, and you're doing the whole brother joking, and, you know, try this. Oh, yeah, we'll try this. Well, yeah, try this thing. See what you can do, you know. And it's like you're having fun. And I always say, if you're having fun with the entertainment, other people are going to have fun watching you.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's really our goal. Before we go out and perform a show, obviously we want to perform to our best level, right? We want to be great shots. We want to be proficient when we're out there, not miss a lot. But what we tell ourselves is this show is about the people in the audience having fun. This isn't about us. And as long as we remember it's about them and make it fun for them, they will have a great experience. And so we try to not let the misses or anything going wrong in our show not bother us. And just keep putting on that smile, keep having fun, because when people leave, we want them to go, that was an amazing experience. Maybe I should go out and shoot a little bit now. And we just want to inspire people and show the fun in shooting.
How'd you get started doing this? I mean, were you competition shooters?
No. In fact, Tom, when we saw Tom Knapp, I would say that I wasn't even a good shot. But I was naive enough to believe that it could be possible. And that's part of... That's part of what I've learned over this journey is that when you have a dream, you create a vision in your mind of what could be, you need a little bit of that naiveness. Because if you look at where you're at right now, it may seem impossible. I wasn't a great shot. I wasn't great at public speaking. In fact, just a few years prior, I was voted the most nervous public speaker in my college speaking course. And so I had all these things going against me, but I felt it in my heart that this is what I was called to do. And that created the vision and the dream, and we just went after it.
All right, so we're talking about, you know, long shots, and I mean, a lot of people have made 60-yard shots. A few might have made a 70-yard shot on a clay target or on a bird at some point. And we start to think that's long. And I've been, and, you know, I know that you know George Digweed. I've seen some of the stuff he's done. I've been at Sporting Clays matches where they call the bird, they shoot the bird, and the referee calls it lost, and then the target broke after it was called lost. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it takes that long, and so you're going, holy smoke, that was so far out there. And you think, that's not possible. So, all right, tell me about this long shot and what you used and how it came about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have ultimate respect for these Sporting Clay guys that can do it consistently. I mean, they're shooting sometimes 70, 80-yard shots, and if you can do that fairly consistently, that is just awesome. But what we like to do is a little bit more obscure. We like to take shots that people aren't going to do in competitions. They're, you know, we're just what's outside the box. So a few years ago, we had wanted to see how far out could we break a clay with a shotgun. And we knew George Digweed had done it, I believe, at 130 yards. And we had met George. He's a great guy. And so we're like, oh, let's just see if we can go out and break that. And so we took a lead shot, number five, and we were able to break a clay at 160 yards. Now, it did take a few attempts. Even though we hit it several times, the clay wasn't breaking because you've lost so much energy at 160 yards.
Of course.
And we thought that was pretty cool. The record sat at 160 yards. And last year we started working with Federal. And Federal makes a round called TSS, Tungsten Super Shot, which is 22% more dense than standard tungsten because this is a tungsten alloy. And it's 56% more dense than lead. So what that means is you can have more pellets in the same size carrying the same amount or more energy downrange. And so now we've got thinking, I bet we could push it even farther. And that's why we...
Let me jump in here because what you're talking about is you can have smaller pellets that weigh the same, and by virtue of that, because they're dense, you can have more pellets in. Now you have more pellet density in your pattern, because when you get out 180 yards, I don't care what choke you're using, you got a pattern dispersion out there, and having more pellets in it is going to increase your odds of hitting something. Fair enough?
Absolutely. And I know those numbers right offhand. A number five lead that we shot at 160 yard had 215 pellets. The number nine shot TSS had 635 pellets. So a lot more pellets downrange, carrying a greater velocity and about the same amount of energy at 160 yards.
So are these targets you're shooting, are they going away? Are they crossers? How are you setting these up?
We're trying to throw them up as straight as we can. We want to take out some variables, right? So we want to throw them straight up so we can kind of track with it. And if we know how much our shot's going to drop in that distance, which we do a little bit of testing ahead of time to kind of figure that out, then we take out the left and right. Although the targets never come down perfectly true, there's always a little left or right to them. So that's it does come towards us a little bit too because you can't throw them perfectly vertical. So what we do is we set up the machine. And at we set up the machine, ultimately our record that we set was at 180 yards, and the machine was probably at about 195 yards.
Wow. So you broke a target at 180 yards with a shotgun?
I was a little bit impressed myself. You know, when I tried several times with the number nine shot, and I was struggling. And we had just a few boxes of the number seven shot, which has less BBs, but is carrying more velocity and energy downrange. So then I switched to the number seven shot, got it in the first try.
The TSX, and a lot of us have seen a lot of different things come along. You know, this is supposed to be the coolest, newest thing and all that. This is actually the real deal, isn't it? This really represents a huge improvement in technology in shot shells.
Absolutely, and that's why we're so excited to get out there and try it and push the limits again. And I used TSS in a little more practical application this spring. I took my son turkey hunting, and he's only 9 years old, and so I didn't want him shooting a big old gun and having a bad experience. But with the technology of TSS, I was able to use a 410 that he could handle well, that wasn't too heavy, and the recoil wasn't too bad. And he shot a turkey at about 20 yards with a 410 and just rolled it. It never moved.
That is great. It's an amazing technology, and, I mean, people say, well, they're more expensive. Yeah, but you're not going to shoot as many of them. You're going to hit stuff. I mean, you're going to smoke ducks and geese with it and turkeys. And so don't worry about it. They work that much better. They really are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to toss out the idea of a tungsten super shot target load, but they thought that went to be a hot seller at the price point.
I can't see people going out and buying 40 flats of those. No, the way shotgun shooters do. There you go. How can people find out more about what you guys are doing and where you're going to be appearing?
Yeah, absolutely. GouldBrothers.com is our website. And if you search Gould Brothers on pretty much all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, which is all our videos go on YouTube, that's a great way to find us and kind of see what we do.
All right. And Gould is G-O-U-L-D. Look for Gould Brothers. There you go. Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. Great chatting with you.
All right. You take care. Very cool. 180 yards breaking a clay target. Almost two football fields. I wouldn't even believe it if you didn't see it. And, of course, they shoot video of all this stuff. And if you get a chance to go see them somewhere, they really put on a good show. Very cool stuff. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back.
Carry comfortably without sacrificing capacity with Smith & Wesson's M&P Shield Plus. Designed for concealed carry, the M&P Shield Plus offers a 13+1 extended magazine or a 10+1 flush mount magazine. In a slim, micro-compact frame, the M&P Shield Plus 9mm is offered in a variety of configurations, including performance center models with optics cuts, upgraded sights, and more. The Shield Plus. Find yours at smith-wesson.com.
Visit GunTalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's X Marks the Spot giveaway for multiple chances to win a P365X Romeo Zero from Sig Sauer. Sig's P365X Romeo Zero Micro Compact features a 3.1-inch barrel, the X-Series grip module with a 12-round flush-fit magazine, signature X-Series flat trigger, and the Romeo Zero Micro Red Dot sight installed and ready to go. Enter now through June 30th at GunTalk.com/win.
Whether mounted on your gun, in your pocket, or in your glove box, a quality flashlight can be a lifesaver. Count on Surefire's illumination tools to defend you and your loved ones when it matters most. Designed, engineered, and precision machined in the USA for more than 40 years, Surefire is the ultimate in performance and reliability. Go with the proven performer. Go Surefire.
Here, Tom Gresham, 866-TALK-GUN, or Tom Talk Gun. I'm completely open lines if you'd like to join us. Pretty much anything you want to talk about. You got a gun you got a question about, or you just want to share a story? Any particular gun that your dad gave you or left to you? Interesting. I have the Remington Model 6, little falling block 22. That was my dad's. He got when he was a kid. Got a really cool picture of him with that when he was probably six or seven, and I have the rifle, and it's already being handed down to Ryan. I mean, why wouldn't you, right? You got to keep that in the family. But cool stuff. A lot of stories associated with things like that. Some of them, when I look at the gun, I actually can hear my dad telling the story about a particular hunt or something he did with it, that kind of a thing. And admittedly, I'm fortunate. I've got a lot of video of Dad, a lot of TV shows that he did. And you go on YouTube, you can see an awful lot of stuff of Dad. Actually, we're loading a lot of the videos from that Dad did on TV shows on the Gun Talk website. If you haven't seen them, you're in for a treat. Fishing with Terry Bradshaw. Oh, how about hunting alligators? Wait for it, with Bruce Jenner. Yes, I said Bruce Jenner. Very cool stuff there. So, yeah, you got to check out the Gun Talk website, guntalk.tv. Actually, yeah, guntalk.tv in this case will get you to that, or guntalktv.com. Just look for Gun Talk wherever you get video. It can be on, let's see, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, blah, 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 all the rest of the streaming places. Just look for the Gun Talk app. You'll find it there where we're loading up a gazillion different pieces of video. Oh, why is she doing this? Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia, introduces a bill to abolish the ATF. Really? I don't know. Do you think we're going to abolish the ATF? Do you think there's a chance in the world? Is this, I don't know what your take is on this. Worthwhile, wasteful? Is make her slash us look like a kook? I don't know. Just curious to your reaction. My first reaction when I look at that is, really? Is, you know, this looks like a everybody look at me for a minute effort. I don't know. James out of Park City, Montana, I believe that is. Line 2. Hey, James, you're up.
Yes, you were talking about guns that our parents had, our father had.
And, right.
My dad had a Marlin 336 RC. It was manufactured in 1959, which is the year I was born.
Okay.
And after not having it for several years, my brother asked me if I wanted dad's gun.
Really?
And so he shipped, he lives in another state,
mm-hmm.
and he shipped it out to me through an FFL.
Okay.
And I now have that. It's in 35 Remington, which isn't the greatest cartridge for Montana.
That's a cool cartridge.
It's a great cartridge, and with the new, when you can get a hold of them, the new Hornady.
The Lever Evolution stuff, yeah.
Yes. But when I went to sight it in after getting it, it took 3 shots to sight it in.
When we were
kids, Dad didn't have a lot of money. He had some health problems, and
mm-hmm.
so he took us out and set a target up on the hill, and we had 2 shots to hit the target, and we hit the target. Then we went hunting, and I still remember getting deer with the rifle. But it's the old style without all the safeties and everything else. All it has is the hammer safety. But it is just,
that's a great rifle, man. That's a great rifle and it's a great cartridge, but more than anything else, it's your dad's rifle and now you've got it and you obviously appreciate it. James, thank you so much for sharing that story. That was terrific. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You could hear it, couldn't you? You could hear it in James' voice. It's like, that's my dad's gun. Now I have it, and I can take it out and shoot it. And I remember when he said, you got 2 shots to hit the target, and then you can go hunting. That's what I'm talking about. You pick it up. You could hear your dad's voice. You recount those stories. You pass them along. 866-TALK-GUN. What's your story? With you. Tom Gresham here. If you'd like to join us, the number is very easy to remember. My name, Tom, and then what do? Talk guns. So, Tom, talk guns. That'll get you in here. Steve called. He's in Jefferson City, Missouri on 3. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind, sir?
3 things that you have stirred up today. These are good things. Number one, when I got into concealed carry about 15 years ago here in Missouri, I went to a garage sale and found an autographed copy of the Rausch book, and I have it on my bookcase.
Isn't it good?
It is good. It was very enlightening to me with his talk about the other, the other human.
Yeah.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
I'm en route to... say, what have you been shooting lately and who have you been doing it with? I morphed into an instructor, and you always wonder, you talk about getting people to do that. I mm-hmm. kind of wandered into it from the concealed carry viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
but I ended up going where the customers were, and that is at Scout Camp.
Oh.
And I am sitting 2 miles outside of the Central Missouri Scout Camp, where we have about 300 scouts with me, and some of which will be taking basic rifle, basic pistol, and mm-hmm. basic shotgun this week.
Okay, good
and
for you.
Teaching them all, and they get the lecture on the brass dance.
Oh, the hot brass dance! Yeah,
the hot brass.
Yeah.
This is not the first time a terrible thing like that has happened.
Right? And no, it's not. It's a terrible, you just need to tell people, look, this can happen. If it does, this is what you do. And if they know that, then they know how to react. Otherwise, they have no idea what just happened to them.
Yes. If you know about it, you can be prepared.
Yep,
and
exactly right.
What we're shooting lately, flip in a fourth item, is Savage Mark I AccuTrigger 22 rifles with peep sights or aperture sights.
Huh.
They are capable of putting five 22s in one hole. You can hold still.
Wow, that is terrific. Well, Steve, thank you so much for what you're doing and helping the youngsters, helping the scouts. That is terrific. I got to keep moving. I got them really lined up all of a sudden. Let's see. Line one, Jerome out of Layton, Utah, got an interesting question about the NRA. Hey, Jerome.
Yeah, I just got my latest copy of American Hunter, and there is a ballot on the inside of it. About the board of directors, and I'm just wondering, does it matter?
I never thought I'd say this, but to me, no. The board of directors election, the NRA doesn't matter at all because Wayne selects who you get to vote for. Wayne controls who's on the board. The board has shown no interest at all in reining him in or getting rid of him, which is what really needs to happen. He needs to be fired, and everybody around him needs to be fired immediately. It's the only way they're going to save the group. He controls all of them. So I, some year and a half to 3 years ago, I just said, you know, it just doesn't matter. The board is irrelevant. There are, don't get me wrong, there are a few on the board who are trying to do things, but they're so outnumbered that they can't. They're getting literally shouted down and screamed at in board meetings. You know, sit down, shut up. It's a catastrophe what's going on there. So I'm not going to vote. I mean, you might as well just, you know, vote and throw it in the shredder as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's any point. And I'm really at the point, I'm not sure that the NRA is salvageable. There's a Hail Mary being done right now of a request to have intervener status so somebody can actually represent the members, because so far no one is representing the members in all of these court cases. So we'll see. But as far as the board, I have no hope for the board ever doing anything. I've given up on them.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. Sorry, Jerome. I wish I had better news for you. Appreciate that. Brian's on four out of Reno, Nevada. Brian, dads and grandfathers, talk to me.
Hey, Tom. First of all, happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, my dad was a big collector of firearms. When he passed, he left me two Winchester Model 1894s, a carbine and a rifle that both had belonged to my great-grandfather and then my grandfather, my dad, and me. But even beyond that, he had a Les Bear Thunder Ranch 45 with custom ivory grips that he and I went to Thunder Ranch, Texas, with a pistol class together.
Uh-huh.
And so that's now, that's sitting in my safe. It's a safe queen. I mean, it shoots like nobody's business, but that thing means so much to me, I just don't want to get a single scratch or ding or anything else off of it.
I understand. I know what you mean. It's funny you mentioned Thunder Ranch. I was just poking around and found one of my Thunder Ranch certificates for a class, 40-hour defensive handgun one, Thunder Ranch, September of 1996 at Mountain Home, Texas. And it was class number 100.
That's where we went to it again, Thunder Ranch, Texas. Yeah. But yeah, it's that pistol's a beauty, and you know, Les Bear guns are so damn tight. I mean, it takes two strong men to take that slide apart, but. Yeah,
hey,
so I don't know which I like.
I got
a
question
for you. I don't know which means more to me. I mean, the Winchesters, because of all the way back to my great-grandfather, or that really unique 45, but yeah, I love them all.
So what happens to your guns? Do you have kids?
I have a daughter, and I got three grandsons, and my guns will be going to her because she's full-time National Guard, and she likes to shoot, and they'll be going to the boys after her.
Terrific. That is great. Brian, thank you so much for sharing that. That is a fabulous story. I appreciate that more than you know. Let's take a quick break here. 866-TALK-GUN is the number. We're swapping those stories, sharing the tales. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk.
The
The Ruger Max 9 is a micro-sized striker-fired 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity and a high-visibility tritium fiber day-night front sight. The Ruger Max 9 is optic-ready for direct mounting of co-witness J-point and shield pattern micro red dot sights. Available in three different models, manual safety, state compliant, and pro. The Ruger Max 9 is your next handgun. Find out more at Ruger.com/Max 9.
Your gun rights are under attack as never before. Joe Biden's administration has promised to rip away your constitutional rights, making good on the promises they made to the gun ban lobby. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in the fight. The Second Amendment Foundation's actions in dozens of landmark lawsuits have pushed back these gun grabs, but we need your help. Join and support the Second Amendment Foundation. Go to saf.org. That's saf.org.
Visit Brownells.com for the best parts, tools, and accessories to get your build on. Building an AR? Brownells has the best uppers, lowers, barrels, handguards, and parts. What about a custom pistol build? Brownells has both 80% and complete handgun frames, slides, and barrels to make your handgun what you want. Brownells also has articles and videos to help you build and customize your firearms. Go to Brownells.com and start your gun build today.
Back when you were talking a minute ago about Thunder Ranch, we talked about gun sight a good bit. I was just out at, as you know, last week we were in Wyoming at the Sig Sauer Hunter Games, the first ever Hunter Games, and talking with the folks there from the Sig Academy, and they were... I knew that SIG's Academy originally was military and police only could go there. And, of course, now it's open to the public. I really had no idea how large they were. There are probably by far the largest firearms training facility in the country. I mean, they're putting, I think the number they said was 40,000 people a year through it. It was crazy. Huge. Right now they are in Exeter, New Hampshire. They also have classes in Florida, but if you go to the Sig Sauer Academy website, just look for Sig Sauer Academy, you can see what I'm talking about. Rifle, pistol, shotgun, machine guns, all different levels of, you know, skills, whether you're a beginner or literally a Navy SEAL or Delta, they work with everybody. Very cool. I'm going to try to get back up there. Probably in the fall. Got to work that around hunting seasons, but I'd like to get back up there in the fall. The instructors are first rate. Pretty fun stuff. Brian's online, too, out of Garland, Texas. Hey, Brian, what'd your father give you?
Hi, Tom. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
So my story is 40 years ago, just a few weeks before dove season in 1981, my father bought me a Winchester 1300 XTR. It was a 20-gauge, the vent rib barrel. I mean, I can remember every detail about that. Mm-hmm. And I had some good hunts with that, hunted with Dad a lot of dove and quail. But about 5 years after that, while I was in college, I don't know if I needed books or groceries or what, but I hawked that gun. And I've always regretted doing that.
Ooh.
And so... you know, it's one of those things that you do when you're young and dumb.
I know.
And my Father's Day story is just last Friday, just 2 days ago, my children presented me with a never-fired 1981 Winchester 1300 XTR.
Oh, my gosh, Brian.
So.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, you know, my daughter said, Dad, I know it doesn't replace the one your father gave you. And my answer to her was, it does. In every way, it does.
Yeah, it does. So obviously, you had told them the story. They knew about this story. They knew how much that meant to you and that was still working on you. And then they hunted one down for you and found it and got it for you.
My daughter's been looking for this for 3 years.
Wow.
But yes, sir, you're right. You're right. And so... you know, it's just it's one of those things. That, and this was a little different, you know. This is a 12 gauge, and my original was a 20. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to buy one today, I'd buy a 12.
Wow.
You know, it's
you know, it was such a surprise. And,
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is, 27. She's 27.
That is a pretty aware young lady.
Oh, she's been looking for it for a while. And, just the thoughtfulness behind that and just that expression of love. I have written about it just in some things that I've, you know, just a little journal that I keep, and mm-hmm. she knew about that. So, I told her I felt like it's a 40-year-old gun that I've never, that's never been fired and that I've never seen or touched, that's coming home to me.
You're a lucky man.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel very blessed.
Well, I'm choking up. Thanks for sharing that with me. I appreciate that. Let's go to Tony on 4. Help me out here, Tony. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Yes. So, love your show. I'm listening to Gun Talk Radio all the time. I just heard what you said about the NRA and voting in the NRA. I just sent in my ballot, Tom. I did vote. Mm-hmm. I'm a voting member. I have been for years. And I got to tell you, I respectively disagree with you on this one. Okay. I think that any and every NRA member that is a voter should vote in every election having to do with the NRA. I know that to me is the equivalent of, you know, being a Republican or Democrat and choosing not to vote in an election. Mm-hmm. I think that anybody who has a right to vote should exercise that vote. As an NRA member, the only right you have, the only voice you have, is your vote. So, again, I understand, you know, we're all frustrated with what's going on with the NRA right now. But to put out a message to not vote, I think is not the right message to send at this time.
I understand. But the question I was asked was, does it matter? So I ask you the question of, since Wayne gets to handpick the people who you get to vote on, is it going to matter?
Personally, I think it does. I mean, I know a lot of the people that are on that ballot personally, and I know that they're, you know, good people and they believe in the cause. You know, Mike Wallace from Goal in Massachusetts come to mind. Great guy. He's a 76 director. I would love to see him remain on the board. I'm sorry, it was Jim Wallace.
Right.
But it's just an example of somebody that I think could do good. Buzz Mills is another one. I mean, I voted for the people who I thought may actually stand up against Wayne and the current administration.
And that's wonderful. And I agree with you with, both Wallace and Buzz. And yet we know they're not going to be able to change anything. We just know that. I mean, they can't. Physically, numerically, it's impossible. We've seen it over and over for years and decades. They can't. If the good ones go in, they burn themselves out, and then they end up leaving because they say this can't be fixed because it's simply unfixable right now. Although I think it's going to get fixed in court. We'll see what happens. But I don't disagree with you. I'm not disagreeing. It's fine. You vote your conscience. You do what you think is right. I never thought I'd say this. I got to the point where I said, I'm done. I don't think it can be fixed. I think Wayne LaPierre and the people around him are corrupt at a level that is almost impossible to imagine. I think it goes much further than anybody knows at this point. I think even though we revealed a lot of stuff during the bankruptcy, I think there's so much more. There's literally a million pages that the New York Attorney General office has on the NRA. This stuff's going to come out. And it's going to be, I think, it's going to be far worse than anything we've seen. I wish that were not true. I wish we could fix it. It's a great organization, or it should be a great organization. It would be if we could get rid of those people. All right, back with you. Tom Gresham here. Let's go talk to another Tom. Tom is in Fargo, North Dakota on 5. Hey, Tom, welcome. And thank you for calling in. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to pass on. My dad gave me several guns, but one special one. He gave I was born in 62. He gave my uncle, I was named after my Uncle Tom, and my dad gave him a Model 12 12-gauge. I have that gun. I got it back, took it to a gunsmith. They went all through it, and the guy said it's been shot maybe two or three times.
Oh, my gosh.
And
holy cow.
Yeah, and that gun is really special to me. And then one other, I know this is real quick.
Sure.
I've got a Model 63. Let me see here. I've got a 22 that my grandfather that I never met. He died in 54, and mm-hmm. I've got I think it's a Model 63. Is that right? 22.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then my wife has got a Model 62 that her dad bought with his first check from the CCC camp.
What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you to have those guns from your father and your uncle and all of that?
Oh, it's priceless. And what's worse, I have no one to give them to. You know, it's really hard. I hope someday I can find a young man or middle age or another guy that has got kids that really value guns. We don't have any relatives. My wife and I, we don't have any kids.
Wow.
And so it's hard. And if nothing else, we'll, you know, donate them to, museum. I don't know, but they mean a lot. They
yep.
mean a lot to me.
They really do. Tom, thank you so much for sharing that. It's, they do mean a lot. It's, if you have it, you know what I'm talking about, and it's hard to express and it's hard to explain. And if you don't, I'm sorry that you don't understand. And certainly those of them who think we shouldn't own guns, and they don't understand why we like guns. They could never understand this. They don't get that. There aren't a lot of things that you can hand down to your son, to your daughter, to grandsons, granddaughters, and it just keeps going on down. Guns last a long time. I was going to say forever, who knows, but you know, a good gun that you buy today, there's no reason it shouldn't last 100 years. I mean, we're shooting guns. We are literally shooting guns right now that were made 100 years ago. Not even just designed 100 years ago. They were made 100 years ago or 150 years ago. Nice double-barrel shotguns. Model 12s. How old are those? Crazy stuff. And Sean and Mel, don't go anywhere. We're gonna get you into the after show here because I didn't have quite enough time. I love, you know, what you want to talk about. We're gonna get you in. Anybody else would like to join us? You can call us right now. We'll get you into the after show. You can tell your stories about the guns that your father or uncle or somebody else left you that you have, or maybe share the story of what you plan to do with your guns as well. Give me a call right now, 866-TALK-GUN. In the meantime, if you have a gun you want to leave to someone, you know, you might consider giving it to them now. Why would you do that? Well, now you can tell them the story. You can, why this is important. You can sit down with them. Maybe take them out shooting with the gun to a son, a daughter, a grandson, or somebody else. I don't know. Rather than just leave it to them, would it be cool to give it to them now? Maybe even just sit down and have them turn on the video camera on your phone. I'm going to tell you some stories about some things I've done with this gun. Boy, wouldn't you love to have that from your grandparents, your grandfather? Very cool stuff. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Stay safe.